Take your Bibles and open to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be starting in verse 8, looking at 8 through 14 for the time being. As we do that, I'm getting hand signals. Kids are dismissed for kids' church. You guys can head to your classes with your teachers there. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 8. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We're going to stop there for the time being. The topic of light and darkness is introduced. Earlier this week, as we were in our fasting time, the staff always celebrates birthdays, and they usually will bring in like donuts or muffins. Mine happened to be last Sunday, so as we were getting together as a staff this week, we weren't eating any food, so they brought in water, and they brought in like really nice water, like fancy water bottles, and we all drank water together. It was really amazing. That's a great way to celebrate. One of the things that was interesting about it with these nice fancy water bottles is this one kind is called Path Water. I've never heard of that before, but one bottle was white and one bottle was black, and Pastor James, leave it to him. Right? He's always doing something. He goes, hey, that's like Star Wars. This water was good, and this water found the dark side. And so, you know, you drink that, you're going to walk around, you know, talking like Darth Vader. But I thought, you know, this is actually a great illustration for our passage this morning about light and darkness. Verse 8 said that once you were darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. There couldn't be a more black and white description of those who are walking with Christ and those who are not. Darkness and light. It actually makes a very startling statement here. Once you were darkness. Not you were in darkness. Once you were darkness. And now you are light. Do you understand how significant that statement is? If you are a follower of Christ, if Christ is in you, he's saying you are light. Think about light with me. God created light. What did he say? Let there be light. And then there was light. Like he can just speak this into being because he is light. In fact, 1 John 1:5 says, God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. So if we're told that we are light, we have this quality of God in us. We are like him in that sense. We also find in John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. As Jesus was on earth in his ministry, he was displaying the light of God in all that he was doing. He was lighting up the darkness. We also find in Psalm 119 that it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word has all the divine truth in it, and it is light for us. It shows us how to walk, how to live. God is illuminating our world with who he is. He himself is light. Light is so important to us. Another thing that happened earlier this week is when I was drinking a lot of water is it makes you have to go to the bathroom a lot. And so in the middle of the night, I was getting up and having to, you know, more often go to the bathroom. And so I'm coming through. It's middle of the night, 2:00 in the morning, and it's pitch black. And I'm walking through the bathroom and I stub my toe on something that I didn't know was there because it was dark. It was the bathroom scale that had been moved out from its normal spot right in the middle. I don't know how that happened, and I went crash into it, and I was like, oh, my foot. And I thought I woke up the whole house from this big crashing sound. Flipping on the switch of light would have exposed that it was there. Like, we depend on light all the time. We just put new lights in here because light is important. We pay crazy electric bills in order to have light. We would love to see the sun again, wouldn't we? It's been cloudy for like a week. Like, we enjoy light. And Jesus or his word says right here to us, you are light. In fact, Jesus said that as well in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill. If you're a believer in Christ, you have light. It's one of the characteristics of who you are. You are no longer darkness. It's a distinction of being a follower of Christ. This is the concept we're going to unpack here today in Ephesians 5. And we've been looking at the last chapters of Ephesians, so one chapter per week, looking at a highlight for 6 weeks, six chapters. The first week, we looked at the idea that Christ is high and exalted above all things, that he's also the head of the church, but he's put his fullness in us, his body. Chapter 2, the question is, how can that happen? Aren't we sinful? Yes, we are. But God, who's rich in mercy, because of his love for us, made us alive with Christ. He saved us from our sins. He's seated with Christ in the heavenly places. What an amazing salvation that God would take us who were living in darkness and make us alive, make us light. Chapter 3, we get the idea that, okay, you're already rooted and established in God's love by that great salvation, but your eyes need to be opened up to this so you can grasp how big his love is for you, how high and wide and long and deep is the love of Christ, so you can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Chapter 4, last week we looked at this idea of how we now are his body and we have a function. There's servant leadership to equip people and help guide them and shape their spiritual walk so then the body of Christ can do the work of ministry. And as we do that and we grow up together in that in unity of the faith, then we attain to the measure of all the fullness of Christ. The fullness, again, this idea. And then now in chapter 5, we're looking at this idea of light. And guess what's going to come up again later in the chapter? This idea of fullness. That we now are transformed into the people of God, that the very way that we live and act is different. We are children of light, not of darkness. Our character will completely change as we are now followers of Christ. So it boils down to this idea that we as now children of light should bear the fruit of light. The way that we live, the choices that we make, what comes out of our mouth, all would bear the fruit of life. It says in verse 9, that after it said that we live as children of light, it says, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. It's like the very character of God our Father is now being lived out in us. The very fruit, the very character of Christ as he lived on this earth is now lived out in us. All goodness and righteousness and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Let's live those kinds of lives. But then we're also told in verse 11 to have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, as if that's really a possibility. We could choose to live in our old way of in the fruits of the deeds of darkness. But it says, instead of that, expose them. Be ruthless to get rid of those old deeds of darkness in us and instead live as people of light. I think this is a tension point I just want to put my finger on in our lives. Yes, Steve, the Bible tells me that I'm now a child of light, but I find there's a whole lot of darkness that keeps creeping up in me. Do you guys experience this? Like my old ways of thinking, the temptations of this world. Even if I try my best, I still can't live righteously and good all the time. Can you? Because I certainly can't. Am I talking in your neighborhood here? Did you see any heads nodding? Okay, thank you, Paul. You're the only honest man in this room right now. Do you have the same tension as me? This is difficult. It's very black and white here in this passage. We got light and we got darkness, and it's like you got to be 100% pure and good and righteous. And how can I do that? In standing before God, based on what Christ has done for us, we know he has declared us to be good and righteous and full of truth. We are children of light. And yet this old thing keeps getting closer to our life. And the more we try to just try to do good, this seems it's like it's always with us. Hard to separate ourselves away from the darkness of the world, the darkness of our old way of living. What if someone were to come and expose the darkness like it says and bring a flashlight into our lives? And this is the best I could do. But what if they were to come at you in your life and start like looking through and go, oh, this is how you lived this past week. I heard that swear word. Mm-hmm, I see it right there. And did you watch The Bachelor on Wednesday night? Yeah, I can see that. And you know, however you lived, you went 12 over the speed limit. Yep. We don't like to have the light shining on us, do we? It's not easy. It's not fun. It's not comfortable. This tells us that the very light of Christ exposes what is dark. It shows up in the darkness and shows what's visible there. And then it tells us to expose it. It'd be like getting up in the middle of the night and actually turning on the light before you walk through, so that the light can show you what is there. As a child of light, don't hinder the light. Don't try to shut down the light. Don't try to block it out. Don't hide it under a bushel, if you remember the old kids song. Let it shine. This is what we are called to do as children of light. How do we do that? How do we let light shine in our lives? One of the ways is not necessarily to go with a flashlight and start inspecting other people's lives and picking them apart in that way. Sometimes stuff comes up and we got to talk about it and deal with it, but it starts with us in and of ourselves. Are we willing to be ruthless about darkness that may lurk in our own hearts and shine the light around and let it be exposed? I've discipled lots of people, worked with lots of people in their walk with God. I myself have had to walk this journey too, and continue to. I love when I'm around people who are willing to be honest about their life, their struggles, who are willing to confess sin, who are willing to let God into all those places that normally you'd want to cover up, because they want to get free. They don't want the shame of this. They don't want the control of this anymore. And the temptation is if I bring this to light, then God's not going to love me anymore, or someone else is going to find out they're not going to love me anymore. But the reality is that when we bring things to light, we can finally deal with it. And we can finally walk in a way, in freedom, that we've wanted to live. And let that be the culture that we have in our lives, that we move toward exposing the stuff rather than covering it up and stepping away from it, rather than hiding. Because that's a fruit of darkness, is of hiding things. Darkness is where things lurk. It's where secrecy happens. This talks about living a life in the light, the freedom of the light of God in our lives. It doesn't mean we broadcast it to the world. It means that we work it through with the Lord individually and with the people that it affects, and sometimes also with brothers and sisters who we trust, who will lead us and help us to get through what we need to get through. We move toward it rather than away from it. Light exposes the darkness. It's part of the nature as to what it is. And if you have some of that, I encourage you if you're hearing this going, yeah, I'm probably a person who would normally want to hide things. I want to encourage you to take a step in your journey, whatever that would look like, toward moving into the light. Today, actually, we're going to have a response time at the end for prayer, and maybe that's one of the steps you can do is say, I want to be prayed for. I'll explain more about that when we get to the end, but you'll have an opportunity to move toward the light today. Let's zoom out from this part of this passage in chapter 5 and grab back into chapter 4 and ahead into through chapter 5 and chapter 6. I want to give you an overview that there has been a major shift that has happened in the book of Ephesians. Go back to chapter 4, verse 17. The theme verse is clearly 5:8, but 17 from chapter 4 begins the shift in the topic here. It says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, the world. in the futility of their thinking. They are what? Darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Does that not describe our world? It absolutely does. And it describes everybody who's living apart from God. There's a darkness that characterizes their life. But it goes on from there and says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Something shifted in your heart. Light came to you. God brought his light to you. And it says, surely you heard of him, there's his light, and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That is a description of light. And let me just make a comment here. It says you did not come to Christ that way. When you came to faith in Christ, the way to come to Christ is to acknowledge, oh God, I am a sinner. That is really where it begins. You are right and righteous, and I am not. If you don't recognize that, you cannot come to Christ and be saved. You're still standing in your own righteousness that you think you're okay. No, we agree with God that we have been wrong, that we are living in a wrong way, that we have held on to control in our lives, that we have sinned against him. And we say, God, that is wrong, that is darkness. I turn from that. I don't want that anymore. I want you. Will you save me out of that? We're not just getting saved to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. We're getting saved out of darkness into a whole new kingdom, to live in a whole new way. We've asked him to do that and to bring that change in our lives. We have just been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, Colossians 1 says. So when it says you didn't come to Christ that way, living like that, you've turned away from that. You've now come and you've heard of him and were taught in accordance with him. You are putting off your old self now and putting on your new self. This is the change that happens in our lives. And so when you look at the fruit of someone's life, you can start to determine, okay, you can look at your own life. Is the fruit of darkness being born out in my life, or is the fruit of life, light, being born out in my life? What do you see? And it goes on to describe a whole lot of things that can be those practical things. But let me just give an illustration real quick. It's apple season time right now in Pennsylvania. It's pretty awesome if you've gone out and picked apples or seen them coming into the grocery store. If you went to an apple orchard, drove out there today, would you expect to see oranges growing on an apple tree? Why not? You can't grow oranges on an apple tree, can you? It's impossible because the DNA of that tree is going to produce apples. It's not going to produce oranges. It's just the nature of that tree. The DNA inside a child of light is going to bear fruit of light. We may still have struggles. We may still have some of that old self creeping up and coming in. We will experience some of that struggle, but there will be fruit of light in our lives. If your DNA is of darkness, you will bear fruit of darkness. You might do some things that look good, but they really are not of the fruit of light. They are really the fruit of darkness in your life. This is the complete distinction this passage is drawing. Children of light, children of darkness. And it's going to describe here now what those fruit are. Go into verse 25, it talks about putting off falsehood. We don't speak with falsehood, we speak truthfully. Verse 26, we don't use, in our anger, we don't sin. We don't let our anger get the best of us and we go down a track of bitterness and of anger. We don't let the sun go down on that to where it gives the devil a foothold. We don't steal, but we do things productively with our hands. 29, we don't let unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only stuff that builds up others. Do you see the contrast? Back and forth, back and forth. We don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When he's working in us, when he's speaking to us, when he's prompting us, we don't shut him down. We listen to the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Right there is another, that's an idea you need to hang on to, as we'll get to in a second. We get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, and every kind of malice. But instead, we are kind, compassionate, and we forgive. That's a fruit of light. We are imitators of God. And continue on down, we do not even have a hint of sexual immorality. Any kind of expression of sexual immorality, we do not let that be part of our lives. Any kind of impurity, any kind of greed, anything that's improper for God's people, obscenities and foolish talk and coarse joking, but rather thanksgiving. Do you hear the contrast back and forth of the fruits? As you measure your life by this, what fruit do you see coming from your life? Again, it goes into verse 8, you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. Let's skip ahead to verse 15, to the end of the chapter. Be very careful then in how you live, not as unwise, because that would be darkness, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, that would be darkness, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is he telling you? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, that's darkness. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs like we've done today. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. You can do that at any time, all day. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That gets into relationships. And then it begins to define this submission relationship between husbands and wives and children and parents and slaves and masters, this authority relationship that's going on. And then you get into chapter 6 even further, and it talks about the armor of God and spiritual battles. And again, the light that's in us equips us for the battle. So we're going to be looking at that next week, the armor of God and the battle. It's a whole shift that's happened here in Ephesians, that individually, our character and how we live, there will be a distinction that is different. Now, I want us to zero in on verse 18 now. We're relating verse 8 to verse 18. We're children of light, but how can we do it? It told us a whole bunch of things that we need to be aware of. Are you living like this or are you living like this? But how do we have the power to live it? I might know that it's wrong to speak in these ways, but I might not have the power to always control that and to do it rightly. Do you guys struggle with that? How do I do this? Verse 18 gives us an insightful answer to the power to be able to live rightly. It says, be filled with the Spirit. It starts off with the contrast. Don't be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Don't get drunk on substances because it leads down a bad path. What do we call it when someone is driving and they are drunk? So they get convicted of something, it's called a what? DUI. What does that mean? Driving under the influence. We have language for this in our culture. Language of being under the influence of something. Alcohol has this influence on our minds. It affects the way that we speak. It affects our judgment. It affects how we act. I mean, you've been around people who are drunk. Maybe you yourself. And you think back and you go, man, I wish I had not done that, because this is the fruit of living that way. Under the influence. Then it says, be filled with the Spirit. Can we borrow that same language, as much as we are not supposed to be under the influence of that, to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? That it would change the way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we have our judgment in the world, that it's through the Holy Spirit, his power, that we would be able to live. You might ask, though, well, don't we all have the Holy Spirit? If we're believers in Jesus, if we've accepted him as our Savior, didn't he come and move in and indwell inside of us? And the answer is yes. Everyone who is a believer in Christ has the Holy Spirit. In fact, Romans 8:9 says that very clearly. It says that if anyone does not have the Holy Spirit of God, he does not belong to Christ. You do have the Holy Spirit if you are a believer. 2 Corinthians 1:22 describes him as a deposit, a down payment in our hearts. That God himself came and moved in as the down payment for what it's going to be like when we live with God physically and in heaven, face to face. It's like if you buy a mortgage, you know, buy a house, you put down the down payment. You're going to come through with this mortgage. It's going to be yours. The Holy Spirit is in us. He indwells us. That's not the same thing as filling. Let's continue to unpack this a little bit more. The Greek language, the original language, says it this way: be being filled with the Spirit. Be in a continual state of being filled with the Spirit. Be continually living in such a way that the Holy Spirit has influence over the way that you live and talk and act. It's a continual need. It's not like you get it once and then you're good. Okay, all right, I was filled with the Spirit. We can have significant turning points and all that, but it's not one and done. It's a daily kind of thing. It's a lifelong pursuit of living in such a way that we are filled with and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. One more piece to this. Sometimes we can get caught up with, well, then how much of the Spirit do I have? Is he filling me? I don't know. And Janice Michaels shared a story of how she's part of our church here. She was doing the fast on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but Monday night she was spending time with the Lord, and she was looking at this verse, knowing that we were going to be preaching on this here this Sunday, and she was reading in her study Bible the notes. They said something very important. They said, don't be so much concerned about how much of the Holy Spirit you have, because you have him if you're a believer in Christ. The question is really, how much of the Holy Spirit has you? How much of you does the Holy Spirit have? That's probably a better way to word that. Does he have everything? Does he have access to all the areas of your life? Are you holding on to anything? Are there things that you're going, okay, you can have this, but you can't have this? When we let him have access to every area of our life, when we surrender every area of our life, now we are saturated by his influence in every place of our lives, every place of our hearts. So that's really the question at hand. It's not, can you do all the things that were said in here, this fruit versus this fruit, the darkness versus the light? It's, will you let the Holy Spirit have his way in every part of you? Because if you will, he will bear out the fruit of light in your life. He will do it. We're told all over the scripture, Galatians 5, keep in step with the Spirit. Whatever he's doing, whatever he's saying, keep in step with him. We were told end of chapter 4, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Well, when he's speaking to you, if you shut him down, you've just grieved him. It'd be like a friend who's telling you something and you're just like, forget that. Like, that hurts. The Holy Spirit is God himself placed in your life. And if we don't listen to him, if we block him, cut him off, ignore him, we're grieving him. Every time that we sin, he's like, hey, turn to me, I'll help you. And we're just like, nah, I'll go ahead with this. We're grieving the Holy Spirit of God who's already in us. God, you don't have to picture him as far away. He's right there inside. So this is this idea of being in a continual relationship with him, going to him, depending upon him, listening to him, stepping out in faith in what he tells us to do. As he convicts us of sin, we come back to him and confess that and ask for his transformation and his change. And through that relationship, we are filled with his power. He's the one who's like our trainer, showing us how to live. He teaches, he empowers, he guides, he bears fruit. Galatians 5 again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what will bear fruit in your life if you're under the influence of the Spirit. Do you not know how to love? Do you have the capacity to love? be filled with the Spirit. Yield your life, the control of your life to him, and he will bear love in your life. Do you not have joy? Yield your life to the Holy Spirit in every way, and joy will automatically come as a fruit of the Spirit. This is how we live as children of light. We're going to bring this to a point of obedience to the Scripture. An opportunity to step into it and go, okay, God, I want this. Every time we read his word, we need to have a response of faith and obedience. So the way we're going to do that this morning is we've actually created prayer stations around our room. We've got one here. We've got two over there. We've got two in the prayer room over there. We're going to give you an opportunity. If you would like to be prayed for, if you'd like to just be able to say, you know, I'm struggling with some things, and be able to just get that off your chest with some people, and then be able to be prayed for the filling of the Spirit, yielding control to him, wanting more of his control in your life, then you've got people you can go to. You can also come to the front and pray by yourself. No one will bug you if you come here. You can also pray where you are. But here's the question. What fruit do you see being born in your life? And are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And if you long for more of him, if you long to see his influence in your life, then ask him and surrender your life to him again and anew today. Say, God, I lay these things down. I've been holding on to them. I've been resisting you in these ways. You've been telling me this and I haven't listened. Forgive me. Now fill me. This is an opportunity to do that. So I'm going to pray for us. And after I do, as I do, there's going to be people that are going to move to those stations that will be prayer folks for us to intercede for us today. You can go to any one of those stations. When I say amen, we're just going to have some music play. It's not dismissed yet. Or we won't be dismissed as a church. We want to make this part of what we do as a church. And so we're going to hang around here for a while. You can have a chance to pray where you're at, but go to one of the stations if you'd like to be prayed for. And let's be hungry for God. Don't say no. If the Spirit's prompting you, don't say no. Don't grieve the Spirit. Go forward with what God's asking you to do. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I ask you in faith, on behalf of us, your church today, that we would see the fullness of the Spirit today in our lives. Lord, will you be pointing out in us right now if there are areas that we have said no to you, areas that we have blocked off to you, sin you pointed out that we're not willing to confess or turn from, things that we're stuck in, we need to just get off of our chest. And Lord, I pray you'll give us the hunger, the desire to be filled with the Spirit. Will you move in a way that is marked by your grace, by your presence, that we could come out of today saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You are good. In Jesus' name, amen.